Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take one more day to reflect on the reality of the kingdom that we began this week on Monday. The gospel reading was taken from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, where Jesus, after he was baptized by John, and the beautiful theophany, the revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right there, by the way, is a part of revelation of the kingdom, because the kingdom is God. The kingdom is Christ. The kingdom is the relationship between the Father and the Son from all eternity, the reality of their life, of God's life, of the divine life. That's the essence of the kingdom. And what's at the essence of that life is love, God's love, not the way the world defines love, but the way God defines love, which was perfectly, unequivocally, and forever demonstrated on the cross. Jesus' offering of himself in love. And it all began with love that was in the heart of the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that anyone who would ever believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. It's God's love, it's the love of the Father that gets expressed incarnationally in the condescension, the self-emptying, with the Greek word kenosis. Jesus empties himself and humbles himself by becoming one of us. And Jesus, the bridegroom king, the warrior king, is meek and humble of heart. That's what characterizes him. It's the only place in the Gospels where Jesus says something about himself in the sense of, this is my interior life, my identity, something where he says, I am meek and I'm humble of heart. And meekness, said many times on the program, is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control, under love, really, directed by love. And to be humble is not to dislike oneself or to beat oneself or whatever. It's to think less often about ourselves, is one way to put it, but to fix our gaze on God and on the other and on love and losing ourselves and bowing down, which Jesus showed on the cross, seeking to obey God. Humility is that the pride goes away. Humility, by God's grace, slowly grows. As the seed we've been talking this week, for those who've been listening to the program, the seed that was planted in us, which is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God animated and made alive, a living seed. That Word is alive because it's animated by the Spirit. And just as the seed grows underground and we don't see it, and it begins to grow, that's what's happening. Everyone who's baptized into Christ and authentically surrendering to the Lord. When we talked about the yeast that's there in the dough, and we don't see it, but it's doing its work. That's what God is doing. And we have the beautiful parable, the parable of the sower. And one of the things that we can be really attentive to, and we trust the Lord that this outworking of the Spirit, and as I ended the program yesterday talking about the fruits of the Spirit that grow in us, that over time, with patience and faithfulness and living the life, daily prayer. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Abiding in the Lord begins with conversation with the Lord. And the conversation begins in God's word. That's the love letter he wrote to us. It's what he's left us. It's authored by the Holy Spirit. It's animated. It's a living word. And it has a capacity, as Hebrews says, to really separate bone and marrow, to go right to the core of everything. It goes right to the human heart. It's a sword. Surgical, and goes in, and as we meditate on the Word of God, as we talk to God, as we learn each day to just walk with the Lord, to abide in him throughout the day, to have conversations, to bless him, to thank him, to ask him questions, to say what's on your heart, to be quiet at times, to listen. And of course, the sacramental life of the church, the rhythm of these amazing graces that we've been given in the sacraments, really the foundational graces the Lord has given us to feed us, to strengthen us, word and sacrament, so important. And then in service and walking out the Lord's commandments in our lives and fellowshipping and being accountable and all that. But just following Jesus as a disciple, as a learner, and just saying each day, Lord, I want to learn you, Lord. I want to learn the life of the kingdom. I want you to have my whole heart, and I take it back again and again, and I'm afraid to let it go. But every day, Lord, I know I want you, and I can't do it without you. Holy Spirit, take my heart. Help me surrender it all. Again and again, just to pray those kind of prayers and have that posture and that attitude, because part of the battle Jesus demonstrates in Mark chapter 4, that parable Jesus teaches in these parables, and one of them is the parable of the sower. And Jesus talks about that, and he says, you know, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus goes on to teach about the seed and the soil. Seed is always the same. It's God's word. It's God's life. It's an animated word by the Holy Spirit. It's sown generously. But and it's a fruitful seed. You know, it's a powerful, powerful seed. But it all depends. The fruit that it will bear depends on the condition of the heart that receives it. I also mentioned yesterday at the end of the program that the saints that the church reminds us of, that we celebrate throughout the church year, is they really became good soil. And they surrendered and they willed it by God's grace. They said yes to it and they humbled themselves and they hungered after it. And God eventually gave their hearts, made their hearts into just perfect soil for the growth of the seed, which is the word of God implanted in us. And so it's there. So the seed, what is it? The word of God and the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus said. What is it? You know, what it does, it carries divine life and the power to transform. Don't ever forget that. You're not deprived of it. Even if you've fallen, even if you've got a terrible backstory, surrender to the Lord, repent, enter the church, go to the sacraments, receive forgiveness, and then watch what God does as you walk it out, as I was describing. He will do it. The seed will do it. It has to. It will do it. What it needs is receptivity and a persevering heart. That's the kind of soil we want to have, right? Receptivity and a persevering heart, a heart hungry for God. So in the parable, Jesus talks about the seed first falling on a path, a hardened. This is an example of the hardened heart. The seed sown on the path is the one that hears the word, but does not understand it, does not receive it. The soil is packed down, it's unyielding, that's what it's described as, and the seed never quite penetrates. That's the condition of, I think, quite a few hearts, right? It's a real thing that Jesus is identifying. The heart is indifferent. It's cynical, trapped in habitual sin, totally distracted, uninterested. The spiritual dangers, the word is quickly stolen before it can take root. The devil sends his minions to come and steal it. Don't pay attention to that. Look over here. The sowing of the seed is so important for us to see and understand that we have a role to play. We have the power to soften our hearts, to offer ourselves, and to be attentive, to be awake. And so actually we're responsible for whether that seed takes root or not and the ultimate consequences of it, either growing or not growing in our lives. The second is on rocky ground. This is a more shallow heart. He initially receive it with joy, but you don't want to let it go down to the roots. Soil is thin. The roots can't grow deep. The growth is quick and it's short-lived. Easily can be taken away. Maybe the heart response is emotional enthusiasm, but it doesn't endure. Faith is not dependent just on our feelings and a joyful response in the moment. It's really tied to something so much deeper, an awareness of the depth of my need and the spiritual danger that I'm in and how desperately I need God and desire God. So we're invited to go deeper, of course, right? And so the third one is the thorny ground. It's a divided heart. The cares of the world and the lure of riches choke the word, Matthew 13:22. The soil's fertile, but it's crowded. Competing of growth suffocates the seed. Competing things of the world. Our heart response in this case is, you know, mixed with anxieties or ambition or attachments or distractions. God is just one priority among many. The spiritual danger is fruitlessness despite some good beginnings. We have to keep going back, and we have to know, friends, that there's entanglements that we have in our lives and around our hearts that can choke it off. We have to be able to let go of everything that we've gained an affection for, that we're paying attention to in a disordered way. So that's the thorny ground, the good soil, the receptive and persevering heart, you could say. The receptive heart hears the word, accepts it, and bears fruit. Mark 14:20. The soil's open, it's deep, it's tended. The growth is slow and steady and fruitful that we've been talking about. You can count on this. The reason I'm walking through this, friends, is you can count on this. The seed will always do what it was made to do. This is the empowered, animated seed of the Word of God that's living and active. And its destiny is the human heart. And it's destined to transform and heal the human heart. So this is soil that's deep. And like I say, the growth is slow and steady. And the fruit bearing happens. It will happen. And the heart response is humility and docility, really trust, those kinds of dispositions. Humility, docility, and trust. And a perseverance in obedience. Because really what it's about is the grace of the Spirit in us, which is God's love, empowering us to love. And doing a work in us that reorders our loves and causes us to love the first things first. That is the God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus did. That's what he showed us. And love of neighbor and rightly ordered love of self, which often includes forgetting ourselves more instead of being preoccupied with ourselves, our feelings, our attachments, and me, which is really powerful in a fallen human heart. But a greater power is given to us, and the graces that we're given through the life of the church and the sacraments, again, going back to these things have real power, friends. This is real. If we get in and we just follow the path of, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, we've got this whole history, this whole train of saints that bought in, and they went in. They were all, I mean, some of them were just horrible sinners. Everyone was a sinner, but some just lived terrible lives, but they went all in and they gave their whole heart and they did what they could do to have good soil. And then 30, 60, 100-fold fruit-bearing happens. That's what we want to do with our lives, because guess what? Our life's going to end, and then we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's just going to judge us on the basis of our response to him. We're either going to have fruit or not. What's going to be exposed is, did we love the kingdom, or did we love ourselves more? Did we love the world more? Did we love fame more and the opinions of people and all the rest of that? But if we're humble and hungry for God, he's going to make something beautiful out of our lives. I don't care where you are at the start, he will do it. And we just stay with him in the people of God, in the church, going for it. Receive the graces that he offers us. And just keep going. And his mercy and his forgiveness is there all along the way. But let him make of your life what he desires. Give God permission wholeheartedly every single day. Have a blessed weekend, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.